I'm so thankful we get to hang out here today. Thank you for being here once again. I said it earlier today, but just in case, I want to say if you're listening throughout the week or you're watching online, we're so thankful that you are allowing us to hang out with you, and we would love for you to come hang out with us sometime. We've made space for you just like you're making space for us right now. We'd love to see you soon here at The Vine. You know, we say it each and every week all the time here at The Vine that, man, we're so thankful what Jesus lets us be a part of. And I'm telling you, we can't say it enough. As we've been going through this series, we've just been unpacking this endless pursuit of more that we've been working through, because so many times we get caught up in more, don't we? Like, not more South Carolina, that's where my address is. But like, we get caught up in more, right? Like, we get so caught up in trying to get more. Like, we're like that hamster on that wheel so many times. Some of us are on a treadmill right now because of our New Year's resolution, like that hamster on a wheel, chasing a carrot on a stick. And so many times in our life, that's what we'll do. We try to fill this void inside of us with more stuff, more people, more likes, more validation, more whatever you want to plug that hole in your heart that only God can fill. And we know as Christians that only Jesus can fill it. Yet, so many times in our life, we're like that hamster on a wheel, even as a Christian. We think we have to do more. We think we have to give more. We think we have to be more to be who Christ created us to be. And I want to tell you, you don't. That's what this series has been about. And so today we're going to continue on in this series with Chasing Carrots, and we're going to unpack this thing called verified. Verified. Now, verified used to mean something different back in the day, right? Like my gray hair showing. But like back in the day, verified meant something different than it does today. Now it's just a check mark besides your name in social media world. You're verified. There's something that verifies you. You went through a process to get that. Like growing up, verified would be kind of like being able to be a nurse. You went to school. You got your degree. You went through your clinicals. You passed all the tests, and they issued you a license, so you were verified that it was you that could be a nurse. Now, I could go in there, and I'm not you, even if I have the same name as you, so I couldn't be your nurse, but someone who has gone through the steps properly to be a nurse could. If the nursing example doesn't work, let's think of it this way. It's like driving a car. You have to go take the test. You get your permit. From there, you have to have somebody ride with you. And then you go take the driving test. And somebody sits beside you. And you white knuckle it the whole time, right? Like you remember, make sure the radio's off. Like you got to make sure you don't have that blasting in the background. Like, you know, you're all the way through. And then you get back to the DMV. And they tell you if you pass a test or not. And they issue you a license. So now you're verified to drive on the road. Doesn't quite mean you're safe, though, when you're verified to drive on the road, right? So verified meant something different back in the day, but it has the same concept and the same principle. Today, most people look to be verified by a check mark beside their name. That's how you know it's the real person that's doing that. It's the real entity that's doing that. And so many times in our Christian life, that's what we try to do. We try to live a life that's verified that we are who we need to be. We're going to talk about a guy named Moses here in a minute who spent his entire life trying to verify that he was the leader that God called to bring the Israelites out of Israel. But it made me think, like so many times us in our pursuit to be verified, don't we just put unrealistic expectations on ourselves and others to make sure they're verified to be our friend? That we're verified to be their friend, and that we are verified to spend time together. We go through this whole process where we try to be verified, and what ends up happening is it spills over into every area of our life, and we're like that hamster on a treadmill or that hamster on a wheel, constantly working to be verified, constantly going and going to be verified in so many things. Maybe you're a stay-at-home mom. Maybe you don't work. And you want to be verified to show that you're making a contribution to the world because you think by investing in those kids that it doesn't matter because you're not working a full-time job. And I'm telling you, you matter. You matter. The things that you're instilling into that child is going to change the world for eternity. Maybe it's the other way around. You want to be at home, but you have to work full-time. And you think because you can't be with that child and you have to work full-time, you don't feel verified as a mother because you can't spend time with that child. But I'm telling you, that's not what it's supposed to be like. You are just as important to that child as if you were with them at home every day. That doesn't validate or verify you as a mother. You are stewarding that child that God's given you. That's what makes you verified. So many times for all of us, we try so hard to be the best at everything. Like, who wants to go into anything and not be number one? Maybe in our career, we want to be the top boss. We want to be the one at the top. We want to do everything we can to crawl the corporate ladder, to climb it, to get up there. We don't care who we have to step on or step over. As long as we're calling the shots, then it's verified that we're the boss, that we're in charge, and no one's in charge of us, right? We can do that in our walk even as a Christian, so much so that we'll obsess with so many things to try to be verified that will become inefficient and ineffective. And the thing that we all know is it's hurting us, but we use this excuse. It's just paying the price for success, isn't it? Hey, yeah, so I have to work. And I'll tell you, I'm a person that can be guilty of this more than ever as we talk about this. Yeah, I work 100 hours a week. It's just a price of success. It's just what it is. It's just me. I got to do me. I don't care that I cut 10 years off of my life by doing that. It's just a price of success. So we're verified that we made a difference in the world more than just trusting in being what God created us to be. And so today when I talk about being verified, it made me think about really where we are is when we try to be verified, it means we're trying to be perfect. You see, if you're a sports fan, you may not be, so hang in here with me. If you're a sports fan, we have this big game coming up in a couple of weeks, which we're going to have some great fun with that. A big game coming up in a couple of weeks. And I will tell you this. You may be able to name the Super Bowl champion, the big game champion from 5 years ago, but I bet you don't know their record. But if they went undefeated and they were perfect, you know them, and that's the 1979 Dolphins, right? You know that record. They're the only undefeated team that ever did it. 1986 Bears could have been great. They did the Super Bowl shuffle, right? Isn't that what it was? Like, you may know that. But you don't know their record. And so for us, we spent our whole life trying to be verified, having a perfect record when we were born with a losing record from the beginning. It's only in Christ Jesus in us that we're undefeated. Yet we'll spend our whole life trying to be perfect, to be verified, to say that we're making a difference. So I want to talk to you really quick if this is you. That's why I'm so thankful at how David led worship a moment ago. Like, the song we just sang says it for all of us. So maybe you fit in one of these categories if you're looking at being someone who's trying to be perfect and be verified. The first person is self-oriented. They're a self-oriented perfectionist. And let me tell you about you. You hold yourself to unrealistic expectations that you could never meet. Like, you're the person when they say set goals, like, you're like, I'm gonna make $40 million this year, and you make $10,000 right now. Like you're that person. You set such unrealistic expectations of yourself that folks like saying, "Man, you like to go hard, don't you?" But I'm gonna tell you something. If you made $1 million and you set a $40 million goal, how do you feel if you're self-oriented? Defeated, full of shame, full of guilt, and what happens is you're insufficient, and you obsess to the point of inefficiency, excuse me, not insufficient, but inefficient. You're prone to procrastinate, and you struggle so hard that with deep feelings of inadequacy that you don't want to be around anyone because you hold yourself to such a high standard. Now, I'll put all my cards on the table. I fall in all three of these. I will tell you, I can see where Jesus is working in me in all three of these like that hamster on a wheel. So maybe you're not the self-oriented person. Maybe you're the other-oriented person who tries to be verified and tries to be perfect because of what others think. This person, what they do, they're externally, or excuse me, others-oriented. What they do is they expect others to live up to their impossible standards. Now, this person tends to lack empathy. They often tear other people down because they don't feel like they're good enough themselves. So they're not self-oriented, they're others-oriented. So you can't be verified to be my friend because you don't live up to my expectation of what I think a friend is, even though I don't have to live up to it. Somebody who is others-oriented so many times tears others down. They're abrasive and demeaning, and a lot of times they try to cloak it, veil it, as we talk about, with humor. Oh, I'm just sarcastic. I'm just hard on you. But realistically, it shows what you feel about yourself. And the third person is an externally oriented perfectionist. And this is a person that says, I believe everyone else expects me to be perfect. And the pressure and demands of that puts you in a place where you feel alone, depressed, and separated from everybody because you can't live up to their expectation of you, not your expectation of you. And so what you end up doing is that person also has humor, but instead of putting another person down with humor, they put themselves down with humor all the time. So today, I just, maybe you don't fall in those three categories, but for some reason, I just knew Jesus wanted me to share that with you. Maybe today you're one of those people, and today's a great day because I'm so glad you're here, because I want you to know today you don't have to be stuck in that. Because you see, the thing for all of us, it made me think of for all of us. So how many folks have kids in the room or about to have children? Close to having children, right? You have kids in the room. So how many people have been a kid? This is full participation. At some point in our life, we've been a child. Now, let me ask you something. You remember coloring when you were growing up? How many of you colored inside the lines? Some of you were perfect. I'm going to say 4 years old, how many of you could color inside the lines? Almost 40 years old, how many of you can color inside the lines? I never have been able to color inside the line. But let me tell you something. When you brought that coloring home to mom and dad, what happened to it? I don't know if people do this anymore, but I'm just saying. What would happen to that picture if you put "to mom" on it? Went on the refrigerator. Didn't matter what it looked like. And then all of a sudden, as we got older, what happened is people could color in the lines and some people like me couldn't. And so we realized that some people are better at coloring than us, right? And they're almost perfect in how they color. But at the same time, if I colored a picture for my mom when I was 16, the same way I did when I was 4, she would probably still put it on the refrigerator, wouldn't she? And why would mom do that? And why would dad do that normally? What was the phrase that they normally say? It's okay. No one's perfect. Yet why do we as Christians and why do we as people as we grow older expect ourselves to be perfect? You see, we can't be perfect, but we can be defined by perfection, but we alone can't be perfect. We can be defined by perfection by having a relationship with Jesus. We can be defined by perfection by receiving a free gift of salvation, but there is no expectation for us to be perfect. That's the whole reason Jesus came. So why in the world do we put that on ourselves, and do we put that on others, and do we let others put it on us? Because we'll spend our life as that hamster on a wheel if we continue to live that way. And I'm telling you, as somebody who struggles with it, as somebody who continues to struggle with it, because I'm human, it's not a life worth living when it's that way. Jesus didn't die for you to live that life. He died for you to live a free life, to be exactly who he created you to be. So for all of us today, I don't want us to go through this shame, guilt, unworthiness of beating ourselves up. I want us to know that we have a purpose. I want us to know today that as long as there's a breath in us, that our story is still being written, that there's nothing that's too big that God can't overcome, that he's already defeated. So today, I want to help you, but it's going to start kind of weird, okay? Normal for Tyler, right? It's going to start a little different because I want to tell you why I would tell you I've struggled with perfection. I mean, it takes a long time to look this good. Tough crowd. See which one of those categories I fell in right there, and you can go ahead and tell me afterwards. So, all of us try to struggle with perfection, and I want to tell you why. So, if you got your Bible today, we're going to spend most of our time in Exodus 34. I'm going to start in Matthew 5. Then we're going to go to Exodus 34 and 2 Corinthians. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love to give you one for free. You can follow along on the Bible app, or what I love that our Vine production team does each and every week, they're going to have it on the screen for you if you're watching. They're going to see it all around. So I would love for you to go ahead and get to Exodus 34, if you will. And I'm going to read this verse to you from Matthew 5, because I believe that many of us, no matter where we are on the spectrum of following Jesus, whenever we're struggling with something, what is the Christian answer? Read your Bible, right? Read your Bible. And so I grew up in that, read your Bible. We see, I started struggling with perfection because I read my Bible, and I instead tried to be perfect instead of being defined by perfection. Because here's the thing that gets really crazy. Matthew 5:48, I want to throw that up. You're going to see it up on the screen here. Says this, and this is not an excuse, it's real, why I've struggled with perfection. And it says this. This is what Jesus told everyone in Matthew 5:48. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So for you on the treadmill right now, or if you're the hamster right now running to try to be perfect, you'll say, well, Jesus told me to be perfect, right? We're going to unpack that at the end, but I want to tell you, this is going to be completely different than what you think. So, if you got your Bible today, continuing on to Exodus 34, where I told you to get, we're going to talk about this guy named Moses that struggled with self-oriented verification, external-oriented verification and other-oriented verification, this perfectionist that he was trying to be. As a matter of fact, he struggled so hard, God called him in the burning bush to go lead Israel out of Egypt and slavery into the promised land. Moses said, I can't do it. I can't do it. You got to send me somebody. And so God says, all right, well, your brother Aaron can do it. Aaron can go help you. And so he goes and helps him. And they go and he leads Israel out of the promised land. God parts the Red Sea. They walk on dry land. He does a miracle. And Moses continues to struggle to be the leader of Israel. And he spends his whole time trying to verify that he is the leader that God has called to lead Israel into the promised land. So much so, believe it or not, Moses never stepped into the promised land. He only saw it from the outside in. And the thing is, I want to tell you today, maybe you feel on the outside of God's promise, and it's because you're trying to be perfect instead of letting Jesus be who defines you and be the perfection who defines you so that you can step into God's promise. So let's look at Exodus 34 and see how Moses struggled with this thing that many of us are struggling with even today. Verse 29 says it this way, Exodus 34 and verse 29. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with two tablets of the covenant law, we know those as the Ten Commandments. When he came down with those, what happened is they were in his hands. He was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. So when he went to go speak with the Lord, he didn't have like SPF 50 on. He just went right into the glory of the Lord and it was real bright. So he came out and he was radiant. He was glowing because the light was on him. So what ended up happening, verse 30 says, when Aaron and all of the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant and they were afraid to come near him. They're like, what's going on with this dude? He's talked to God. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and the leaders of the community came back to him and he spoke to them. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near him and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. That is, he gave the Ten Commandments. Then when Moses finished speaking to them, pay attention to this, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak to the Lord. Moses spent his whole life trying to be verified as the leader of the Israelites. So let me ask you this in your Christian walk. Let me ask you this in your walk with anything. Moses was radiant when he spoke to the Lord, and the veil was supposed to hide the radiance when he spoke to the Lord. I'm willing to bet that Moses' expectation and what he thought people thought of him is on Sunday, he was as radiant Monday as he was on Sunday. And if he wasn't, that's why he put the veil on, because he could hide it. They would have no clue. And he could say, I talked to Jesus today. I talked to the Lord today, even if he didn't, so much so it carried over into Tuesday, and maybe he didn't talk to Jesus then, and so his radiance was gone because he wasn't spending time with the creator of the universe, and he wasn't spending time with him, and so the veil that he had on was the weakness he was trying to hide. And you see, many of us are there today. We're trying to put our veil on. We're trying to hide our weakness because if we hide our weakness, then people will only see our strength. So what I'm trying to tell you is many times, we're going to see Paul's going to unpack it here in 2 Corinthians. Many times Moses would walk around with a veil on even if he hadn't talked to God himself. Just because he was struggling to be verified as the leader, struggling so that others would validate him, struggling so that others would say, Moses is the bar none leader of us. He worried so much what other people thought. He worried so much of what have thought of himself because believe it or not, Moses struggled with weakness because Moses was a murderer, if you remember. Moses was someone who ran and took care of sheep for 40 years before he led Israel out of slavery in Egypt. And so what ends up happening for all of us is I believe we can be like Moses, so afraid of this thing called weakness that we think we have to be strong all the time. And the scary part is we can place ourselves in that situation so much so that we can miss out on the very life Jesus died to give us. So if you got your Bible today, you saw I had this big swath turn in mind. If you want to go ahead and get to 2 Corinthians 3, I want to go through Paul unpacking this veil being on that Moses wore and talk about this thing called weakness that we all struggle with. Now, Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthian church. And Paul's got some awesome letters that he's writing there. And what happens here is Paul talks about each and every one of them being ministers of a new covenant. And he goes on and talks about how we are now in Christ Jesus and we are no longer defined by the law that Moses brought down on the tablets. And so here's why we're going to unpack that here as we're going to see what Paul is talking about and how we can see how Moses tried to veil his weakness. So verse 12, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12 through 15 is where we're going to start right here. It says, therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. Time out, really quick. I'm trying to make it clearly how I explain this because I don't know if I did a great job with it. So if Moses talked to God on Sunday and he didn't talk to him again until the following Sunday, what do you think happened to the radiance Monday through Saturday? It started to go away. When did Moses wear the veil? Monday through Saturday. Not when he would, and then that next Sunday he'd take the veil off and he would do that. So what Paul is saying is Moses tried to mask his weakness. He tried to mask the thing that he was trying to be defined by, his weakness, so that the Israelites would follow him. But we as Christians, now that have Jesus, we don't have to wear that veil anymore. And he says about the Israelites, but their minds were made dull. For this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read, when the Ten Commandments are read. It has not been removed because only in Christ has the veil been taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their heart. They were looking so hard. The reason that is Israel, if you remember, all the way through the New Testament, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all these people were talking about Jesus, and they were so hard looking for the Messiah that they missed Jesus sitting right in front of them because they were expecting this perfect king that was going to restore Israel, topple Rome, and they were going to be the center of the universe again. But Jesus didn't meet their standard. And so the veil that's over their heart is their mind is dull because in reality, they're trying so hard to be perfect that they don't realize perfection's already came. So here's what I want to tell you about weakness in our life and why we don't have to wear a veil, because perfection has already came and that is in Christ Jesus. Number one, weakness is real. I want you to know that weakness is real. See, where Moses struggled is he didn't want his weakness to be shown, that weakness wasn't real to him because he had a veil on. Now, in today's age, what that looks like is if you said you're going to do a New Year's resolution, you go and take a picture of yourself at the gym, whether you worked out or not, just to say that you're doing your New Year's resolution, just to be verified that I'm holding to it. Or you take a picture of the stacks of money you're making to verify you're successful, the cars that you're driving, the house that you live in. We don't want to show any of our weakness, and so much so for many of us, we're afraid to do it because if they knew that about me, they may not like me. They may not follow me. They may not be my friend. They may not be with me. And the scary part is, guys, like the church can be filled with that, but I want you to know that your weakness is real and it's okay that you have a weakness because none of us are born perfect. We're all born flawed. We're all born flawed. So stop trying to hide your weakness. So many times for me, like I will tell you, maybe this is true for you, you're so determined, like the American dream is so awesome. We've talked about this and I'm not crushing it. We're so determined to be successful and pull ourselves up by the bootstraps that nobody is gonna have control of me, that I've got it all together. I climb my way to the top. I earn my way to the top. Wasn't nobody gonna stop me. I made my mind up. Nobody was gonna beat me. So much so that we struggle with the fact that we do that and the very God of the universe who created us from the foundations of the world says, hey, you have weakness. Trust me with it. Trust me with what I'm calling you there. So much so, we'll stand up and pridefully tell him, there's no weakness in me. That's the veil that covered the Israelites' hearts. They thought because they were God's chosen people that they just had to follow the law, which they never could. And because of that, they had a pass. They had an excuse to be weak. And that's what I want to tell you. Even though weakness is real in our life, we have to understand that it's not a valid, maybe you got a valid reason. This is what I want to say. Weakness doesn't need to be our excuse, even if we have a valid reason. So maybe this, so hear me out. Maybe you don't steward money well. Maybe you're terrible at it. Maybe you're a person that's like, man, if you saw my bank account, whoo, it's terrible. Let me ask you this. Has anybody ever taken the time to tell you how to steward money? Has anybody ever walked with you through Financial Peace University? Has anybody ever sat down and showed you how to do a budget? Maybe that's why you're terrible with your money. Now, your weakness is an excuse because nobody's ever showed you, but it shouldn't be the thing that defines you, because I want to tell you there are people here that love to help you with that. There are people here that love to help you budget. Maybe you were never taught how to work out. Maybe you were never taught how to go to the gym. There are people here who would love to do that. They're not going to work out for you because they can't, but they'd love to do it with you. Maybe you don't know how to read your Bible. There are people who would love to help you read your Bible because nobody showed you how to read your Bible. Maybe you don't know what community looks like. Maybe you've never been around Christian community and knows that it's okay to be weak, that it's okay not to have it all together. There are people here that want to show you how to do that. There are people here that say, hey, your weakness is real, but you're not defined by it. Even though it's real and you got a great, great reason for having it, it doesn't need to be an excuse for your life, because there comes a moment in life where we realize, I can't change this about me. And that's because only Jesus can. And so for all of us, I want you to know that your weakness can be real. So many times in our life, I started thinking about this, like, especially the sports analogies, I'm sorry. But that's what you do. Like, you can't have weakness. Like, so obviously I played football. I mean, I was the quarterback, right? I wasn't the quarterback. I played on the line, obviously, in football. I'm a big fella. So I played on the line in football, and you had to be the strong guy. All right, so I played center. I knew every offensive line position, but I was the center. And so what ended up happening, for anybody who doesn't know, that's the guy who hikes the ball to the quarterback. So just like the quarterback gets to touch the ball every play, the center does. So short story long, you had to go out there strong. Like, I remember the first play of the game, you would have to be so hyped up, you had to let the guy across from you know he wasn't going to mess with you today, because there was no weakness in you, that you had it together. And here's how it attacks all of us that way. So many times, that's how we go into the week and Monday hits, right? Man, this week's not going to stop me. I'm so fired up. Like, we get fired up, and then boom, like, we're ready. We're in the mirror. We're so fired up that we are so blind to our weakness. And then about lunchtime on Monday, that weakness hits you like a ton of bricks, and you beat yourself up about it. So the thing I want you to know today, though, through that, is through Christ Jesus, that's okay, because he knows that we're weak. Why would we expect any different? We think that he thinks we have to be perfect. We think that he thinks that we have to have it all together, but why in the world would he come if we had it all together? So I want you to know today, if you're struggling in your weakness, I'm telling you today, you don't have to be like that football player taking the field that's all hyped up, not showing any weakness. You got a weakness. We all do. But you got a family and a community here that's willing to rally around you through it, to help you walk through it. So number one, weakness is real. Let's look at verse 16 and 17. And it says this, and this is what we just talked about a little bit. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So you see, in Christ Jesus, the veil has been removed. And the thing is, when you show the world your weakness, all of a sudden, when you take your weakness and you lay it at the feet of the cross, all of a sudden, your weakness, even though it's real, all of a sudden you realize there's freedom in it. 2 Corinthians 2, Paul talks about, he said that God says his grace is sufficient enough for him, remember? And he says his strength is shown in Paul's weakness, when Paul's talking about the thorn in his flesh all the way through. In other words, short story long, it's only through our weakness that God's strength is revealed. So not only is your weakness real, your weakness is allowed. Your weakness is allowed. You see, the thing is, until you first realize you don't have it all together, because none of us do. If you didn't know that, welcome to the party. We're all messed up. That's awesome. Praise Jesus that he has us here. But the thing that we get consumed with is we don't think weakness is allowed, especially in the house of God. Today, many of us may be walking in with a veil of some sort on. A veil of, I've had the perfect week, when it's been the week from you know what. the veil of everything's great in my life when you're crying in the parking lot on the way home because you don't know which way is up, down, sideways. You're just struggling. Maybe you're in a place where you don't even know what a job looks like tomorrow. Like, you're just struggling. You're in a place where weakness is real, but you walk in the doors of the house of God and you're like the queen, you know? You got the smile. Now listen, it doesn't mean that you need to be drab all the time. We have the Spirit of the Lord, but I want you to know, you don't need to have a veiled weakness here in the house of God. Because Jesus knows your weakness is real. We all know your weakness is real because all of us are here in our own weakness. So I want you to know that in Christ Jesus, your weakness is allowed, because when you try to hide behind the veil, you end up living a life like Moses. And when you live a life like Moses, it's very important, and people in Israel followed Moses, but the difference was he wasn't the Savior. He was never meant to be the Savior. He was only supposed to be the person that listened to Jesus, did what he said. He listened to God, did what he said, and he led the people to the promise of God. It was up to them whether they accepted and received it. Yet so many times we can think that because we have weakness that we don't matter. And the thing I want you to know today is the thing that you walked in here and you hid behind your veil is the very thing that God wants to work with you through. The reason that you're struggling with purpose in your life, the reason that you're asking God, what did you make me for, is because maybe you're hiding your weakness and you've never laid it at his feet. That's what the church is about, y'all. It's for all of us to come in weak so that he is glorified. All of us to know that this only happens for him and his glory. All of us to know that we're just following him the best we can in obedience, the best we can. But the thing is, if we only give half of ourselves because we veiled with perfection, why would we expect the full result of following Jesus? Because half obedience is disobedience. Yet so many times in our life, we don't think we have to have weakness. The reason I say that is this. I realized in my prayers so many times, I never lay my weakness at God's feet. I pray for him to bless my strengths. Maybe you do too. Hey, God, bless this strength in my life. Hey, God, bless this strength in my life. Hey, God, you made me great at that, so bless that. Bless that all day long. Hey, God, this is what you created me for, so bless that. And I want to tell you, so many times what I've noticed here in my prayers, even I was getting ready for this, I started asking God to work in my weakness. Because when he works in my weakness, holy cannoli, the difference it makes, not only in me, but the lives of those around me, because I understand that his strength is in my weakness, not in my strength. My pride is in my strength. My pride is in thinking I can do it all by myself. But in him, we find that our weakness is allowed. So many times in our life, we can get stuck dwelling in our weakness. I've been there, maybe you have too, and God's trying to bless us with something. Maybe financially, maybe career, maybe physically. God's trying to bless us. And we're really desperately weak in that area at that moment in time. And because we are, our pride creeps in and we don't want to accept it. Maybe you've been there. I know I've been there. You don't want to accept the help. I'm notorious for that. I don't want to accept that. I'm terrible at that. My pride gets the best of me. But what Jesus has taught me through that is so many times if I operate in my weakness and I let him show his strength, not only does he get all the glory, but I don't rob the blessing that he wants to put around the people around me and through the people around me. But if I stayed in my strength, no, I don't need that. And they're just like, dude, you need new shoes. Like, there's holes all in it. Like, you need some shoes. Something's going on. You need some shoes. I don't need new shoes. How prideful is that? But yet we do that, don't we? Because we don't want charity. We don't want to accept that. We got it all together. But when we understand that through our weakness, when it's allowed, Jesus will bless it, it's all right. So let me tell you this, as I keep belaboring this point, because I want you to understand that your weakness is allowed. Why in the world would we live our life not letting our weakness be revealed to the very one who can heal it instead of acting like we got it all together? Moses walked around his whole life to Israel with a veil on to act like he had it together just so the people would stay faithful to God. Quick question for all the people that have learned anything in the Old Testament. How faithful was Israel to God? Not at all, were they? So Moses' veiled attempts for their obedience to God was worthless, because he was trying to show strength where he really had weakness. And I will tell you, as a leader, so many times that's the hardest thing to do, is to tell people you're weak at something. What if Moses on Wednesday, when he didn't have that radiance, took that veil off and just showed Israel, man, I just had a bad day today. I need you to pray for me. I need you to let God reveal what only he can to me today. Would you pray for me? But instead, he felt like he couldn't. And that's why Paul is saying, hey, so many times in our life, we put this veil on, this filter, this mask, this thing that we try to hide. And so today, not only is your weakness real, not only is your weakness allowed, I want you to rip the veil off. Not right now. Maybe you want to do that right now. If you do, we'll pray with you. No problem. But I'm telling you, this day, don't continue to wear a veil. Don't walk around like it's all okay. It doesn't mean you can't have joy. Joy is something that's in every season. Yes, we have the joy of the Lord. But people are around you. Take the veil off. Show your weakness. Hey, if I go to the gym tomorrow, I will tell you Monday is bench press Mondays. Always. Why do people work out on the bench press more than they work out on the squat machine? Because a squat machine hurts. Because a squat rack hurts. Legs hurt. They're bigger muscles. People don't like doing it. That's why you see people who are juicing walk around like this and their legs are bony. Because they don't want to work the legs because it hurts. Doesn't mean that they don't work hard. It doesn't mean that it doesn't matter. I'm telling you what I'm trying to say is their weakness is their legs, but they refuse to see it. So what do you think is in their pictures? The selfie of just the top, right? Because if the top's ripped and the biceps are ripped, right? Like that means everything else is. But there could be a person that doesn't look as in shape as they are, that's in better shape than they are, that's working at the squat machine right beside them because they're willing to work in their weakness and understand that they'll gain strength by working in their weakness. Doesn't mean that they don't have their strength on display. Doesn't mean that they can neglect the bench press. It just means on Mondays, I'm not trying to get to the bench press. I'm going to go work my legs because that's what's going to be empty on Mondays. So can you see that in your life, your weakness is allowed? In your life, you have people that will work around you and work with you through your weakness. In Christ Jesus, your weakness is allowed. Let's go on to see what it says in verse 18 as we talk about this thing called weakness. And we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord. Who is the Spirit? Now, we just said that the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Freedom. We've sang an awesome worship song about that. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Verse 18 says, the Lord is the Spirit, and we with unveiled faces contemplate. Let me tell you, contemplate in this moment is actually the Greek word that they're talking about there. I couldn't pronounce even if I tried, so I don't have it for you. But if you were to ever look that up, the Greek word literally means to be a mirror. To be a mirror. When we contemplate with an unveiled face, when we take our veil off, when we just put all of ourselves, surrender all of ourselves to Jesus, is when we fully reflect him. Otherwise, we only reflect the veil that we put on. The veil of perfection. The veil of perfect mom. The veil of the perfect meal. The 17 pictures that we had to take from the photo booth to make like we had it, right? The veil of the picture of the perfect Thanksgiving meal that we cooked that we stole off Pinterest, right? Like it really wasn't ours. Like the veil of the things that we put in our life. Without that, all we show the world is the veil. But when we reveal our weakness and we put all that we are to Christ Jesus, we reflect his glory the most. And that's when people go and surrender to him because they think, man, I thought I was jacked up. That Tyler dude's really jacked up. And if God can work through him, then he can work through me. And I'm telling you, that's true for all of us. If they see that we understand that we were once dead and only in Christ do we have life, then all of a sudden they'll say, man, if he can do it for him, then he can do it for me. And all of a sudden it just starts multiplying and Jesus does what only he can do. So the third thing I want to tell you about your weakness today, as you reflect the glory of God when you rip the veil off, is your weakness is a witness. Your weakness is not only real, your weakness is not only allowed in Christ Jesus, it's the very thing that will qualify you to be in ministry, not disqualify you. The world will say, you don't have this. Hey, I'll put it to you this way. The world will look at Tyler West and say, you don't have a seminary degree. You're not married with kids. You don't have $1 million job or $1 million bank account or you don't have this. You don't have that. And that's why you can't be a pastor. And I know, you know what? I'm not doing it to prove them wrong. I'm just being a pastor because it's what God created me and I'm being obedient to do what he called me to do. And if I wanted them to disqualify me from being a pastor, that would have been a long time ago. Because when I was 16 and I was called, it's exactly what I did. I let everyone disqualified me. Yep, I don't miss that. Yep, I don't meet that qualification. Yep, I don't meet that. Yes, I don't have to do it, right? But then he awoke it inside of me again and wouldn't let me stop and said, son, this is what I created you to be. This is how your weakness is a witness. All of those weak things about me are what makes him work through me now. Because if you get anything good out of any of these things, it's only Christ Jesus. If it's anything bad, it's because Tyler West put a veil on and he was trying to make himself look good. So every week, if you get something from this, it's Jesus Christ working in my weakness and through my weakness. Because I will tell you so many times to get up here and to stand and talk to you about life, to stand and talk to you about the Bible as I'm learning about it, can be so intimidating. Because sometimes I'll think you have a pressure on me that I have to know all of these things about the Bible. And I'm learning too, y'all. Like, I'm learning just like you are. But in that, if we'll learn together and we'll see that our weakness is real and that it's allowed, we'll see that the very thing we think disqualifies us from ministry is the very thing God will work through to qualify us to be who he created us to be. Maybe qualification is not the word. Verify us to be who we were created to be. The verification doesn't need to come from everybody else. Who cares if you got a blue check mark by your name? Who cares? What does that matter? The only verification you need is the one that comes from the creator of the universe and is found through Christ Jesus and receiving the free gift of salvation that he gives. That's the only verification you need. Don't worry about what everyone else says. But we want more and we want to be verified with that little hamster. We're just running around like crazy, trying to be that. So I want you to see today, your weakness is a witness. I wonder today if we went out this week and we understood we were weak in an area and we asked God to use it. What I mean is, I'm willing to bet there's somebody at work right now, the same thing you're struggling with in your finances, the same thing you're struggling with in your marriage, the same thing you're struggling with in an addiction. They're struggling with it too. Now the difference is if you've got Christ Jesus, you know that Jesus needs to be the center of that. And Jesus is the center of that. I wonder if you just walked up to somebody tomorrow that looks like they're having a bad day instead of like, stay away from her, stay away from him. I wonder if you just said, hey man, I don't know about you. It looks like you've been having a rough day. Let me tell you about my rough day. Let me tell you what's going on in my life. And I know that's weird, isn't it? How crazy is that? But every time I look to see Jesus move in our life, it's from conversations like that that have happened. Every time. Every time I've ever seen Jesus move through my life, it's that conversation to say, hey, this is where I'm weak. I don't know about you, but this is where I'm terrible. I fly off the handle in traffic. I'm telling you, and we don't even have traffic here. And I've driven in cities with greater traffic, but I fly off the handle in traffic. I get frustrated by it. It's just one of those things. Yet I still don't trust something else driving. I'm not fine with robot cars driving. It's just not how it is. Like, I'm terrible at that. So when I tell you that weakness, maybe you struggle with that too. And when you pass me today, you will remind me of that when you honk your horn at me. But wherever you are, like, seriously, maybe the weakness is, seriously, you're struggling in your marriage. You're married for 10 years, and you don't know what in the world's going on. You're struggling. And there's somebody at work, and every Monday you both seem to be struggling the same way, but you don't know why. You don't even know their name. But if you go home and you pray about that today and you say, Jesus, will you work through my weakness? Maybe you walk in there tomorrow, and maybe they're struggling in their finances. Maybe it's not their marriage. Maybe their finances is what made their marriage be problems, and they've gone through it. And when you go and you lay that weakness to them, watch what Jesus will do. Just watch what he'll do. So I want you to know today, not only is your weakness real, be okay with it. It's allowed, especially in the house of God. There's no other place in the world that it should be allowed. The local church is the hope of the world. If we have to walk in here faking everything we're doing, my goodness, what in the world are we here for? We got to be real with each other. It doesn't mean that we got to be Debbie Downer every day. I'm saying, though, we got to be real. When it's been hard, it's been hard. It's okay, because when we have the good seasons, man, oh, man, that's what makes them so much sweeter when we walk through the hard ones, right? So we got to see that our weakness is real. Our weakness is allowed. But our weakness is our very own witness, because through that weakness is how we reflect God's glory. So the verse I started out with is the verse I want to go back to. Matthew 5:48.
Because if Jesus said it, then we must have to do it, right? If Jesus said it, Matthew 5:48, be perfect. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Struggle with that. But the word that's actually used there, the Greek word, is teleos. Teleos. Be perfect. Perfect, that word there is teleos. And so teleos means to be full grown and be mature. Not perfect. Maybe you spent your whole life trying to be living and be perfect, because my goodness, that's how it's supposed to be, right? Until Jesus came in, you see that you don't have to be perfect. You see, Jesus was talking about that. He literally just told people in Matthew 5, he finished the Beatitudes, and he tells people in Matthew 5, love your neighbor as yourself. I've heard it said, eye for an eye, but as for you, I say, love your neighbor and pray for your enemy. Don't try to destroy them. So love God, love others, and he ends it by saying, be perfect like your heavenly Father. He says, be full grown. Be exactly who you were created to be in your heavenly Father. And that can only be found by operating through your weakness and understanding that his strength is found in your weakness. It also means not only to be a full age, to be mature, it means complete in all of its parts. Complete in all of its parts. And so the thing is that we have to know is, just like Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 2, God tells him, 2 Corinthians 2 says that his grace is sufficient for us and his strength is made perfect in our weakness. And so for all of us, we have to see that all the way through for that. Excuse me, I kept saying 2 Corinthians 12. It just dawned on me, sorry. 2 Corinthians 12:9. What always through that, when his strength is made perfect, his grace is sufficient. It's when his grace is shown in our weakness that the world can see him reveal himself. But if I walk in there and I try to do it all on my own, could some people meet Jesus? Yeah. He can work through it. But if I operated in my weakness, how much more could they if we just trusted him with it? So here's what I want to tell you with today as we get ready for this. Get ready for the end of this, if nothing else. I want you to walk encouraged to know today you don't have to be perfect. Stop trying to be. Stop trying to be verified by things that will never give you value. Stop trying to be verified by people who you don't even like. Right? People you don't even like, those are the ones that bother you the most, don't they? Stop trying to be verified by them. Stop trying to have value from the things that don't matter, and stop trying to live your life for something else other than what Christ created it to be. Don't let this thing define you. You don't have to be defined by your weakness, even if it's there, because in Christ Jesus, there's freedom. You see, today, all of us have a story to tell. And many of us will struggle about it. We'll think that we don't matter because the media isn't paying us for leaving our family like they are the royal family, if you know what I'm saying. Like, we think that because the media is not paying a top dollar for our story, like, man, if I just write a book and they hear about my story, like I'm going to the New York Times bestseller, it's all going to matter and I'm going to make all this money and I'm going to get all these things. And we think because people aren't paying top dollar for our story doesn't matter because we're trying to be verified by everyone else. But the one thing that can verify us, because I want you to know, if you've got breath in your lungs, if you're standing on your feet, if you're listening to this right now, if you can see me right now, your story was bought and paid for on the cross, and there's no price that anyone on this earth could ever pay for you to be experiencing the freedom that could only come through the cross. So when you stand here today and you think that your weakness is your failure and you think that your weakness is the thing that disqualifies you, stop. Lay it at Jesus' feet. Stop trying to be perfect. Just follow him the best you know how, day by day, and watch him move. Watch him work in your life. Because for Jesus, I want to tell you, there's no hierarchy to get there. There's no 12-step process to get the check marked by your name. All you have to do is receive by grace and by faith the free gift of salvation that he died to give you. That's it. That's the only box you got to check. Receive. Not have to earn it. You don't have to climb your way to it. You don't have to do the Ten Commandments because you broke them all and so have I. It doesn't matter. None of us have to do all that. We just have to receive it. So today, would we just be willing to say that in our weakness, he is strong, but it's when we lay our weakness down to him because we are weak that we can find our strength. So today, maybe you've spent your whole life trying to be perfect. I don't want to show you what Romans 8, verse 1 through 4 says. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, this law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Here's what that means in a nutshell. None of us had it all together. God loved us enough because we didn't have it all together, that he loved us enough that to be in his presence, we had to have it all together. So he made a way by sending his son to live the perfect life for us that we can never live. Die the death that we deserve for our sin on the cross. And he loved us enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that we could have life and live to the full, so that we could have freedom right now. We don't have to wait. We just have to receive it. So for you, if you're listening right now, maybe you've never done that, and for the first time, you're being awakened to that. And as we get ready to go worship here in just a moment, I want to ask you, have you ever given your life to Jesus? Have you been trying to be perfect your whole life? Have you been thinking that you got to clean yourself up to get to Jesus, that you don't have to have a weakness when you come to Jesus, that you just have to check all the boxes to get to Jesus, and then when that happens, he'll finally verify you, slap that stamp on your paperwork, and put you in the Lamb's Book of Life? And I want to tell you, it just don't work that way. It's only when we realize we don't have it all together that we can see that we need a Savior and that Jesus is the answer to that. And that only through him can we have life and live it to the full. So right now, if that's you, I'm going to ask every head to be bowed and every eye to be closed. We're about to say a prayer, and I want to help you in this prayer. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is in it. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, we're going to say this prayer. And it goes like this. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step, the rest of my life, the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you, and for the first time, you can say that you've laid your life and you've given your life to Jesus and received this free gift of salvation, that you no longer have to live with a veil on. You no longer have to have it all together. You realize that all of us are broken in need of a Savior. And for the first time, you've given your life to Jesus. I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to ask you to respond. One, two, three. Would you raise your hand if that's you today? If you're online watching, you're going to see a hand that's raised. If you'll click that. If you're listening throughout the week via podcast or listening by any other social media, would you let us know at prayer@thevine.tv or 864-580-6698. We would love to celebrate with you, but more importantly, we would love to tell you, hey, we're weak too, but only in Christ are we strong. We would love to help you take that next step that he's called you to take, and we want to walk with you through that season. And I'd be crazy to think that many of us right now came in here with a veil on and we weren't willing to lay it down. And right now the Spirit has worked inside of us and is telling us that today we need to talk to someone about it. And so if that's you right now, as we get ready to worship, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be hanging out in the back. I'm going to grab one or two people with me. We're going to hang out in the back. And if you need someone to pray with you, we're going to pray with you. If you're listening throughout the week, we've got people, as a matter of fact, we have a team that loves specifically praying with people and walking with them through seasons. Would you let us know at prayer@thevine.tv? Is there something you're struggling with? Is there something in your life you're trying to show that you're perfect? You're trying to do all the right things and be perfect in every way, and you're realizing right now that it's sabotaging the very thing that God created you to be. We would love to talk to you today. So I'm going to pray and we're going to worship. And if you need to talk to someone today, would you please meet us at the back? Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to love us and to die for us, because none of us have it together. None of us are strong. We are all weak without you, Lord. But in you, we have strength. Jesus, it's not because anything we've done, it's because we draw our power from you. We draw our life from you. Without you, we're just zombies. We're dead in our sin. We are headed nowhere. We are a hamster on a wheel, running and running and running, chasing a carrot. But with you, Jesus, it's not about chasing the carrot. It's about living the life that you created us to be, and we can get off the hamster wheel and finally take the next steps into the purpose and the life that you died to give us. So today, if we're wearing a veil, I pray that we would lay it at your your feet. I pray that right now as we're about to sing this song about being blessed, as we're about to sing this song about you, that right now we would just be so consumed with you, that we would be overwhelmed with you, that every weakness that we've tried to hold on to, Jesus, we would just lay at you, and today every veil that we have on would just fall at your feet, and that as we walk throughout this week, that we would be willing to show the world who you are. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
In the darkest place, when I've lost my way, all I need is you. In this mess I've made, I can't bear the weight. All I need is you. You are in mercy, slow to anger, your love endures forever. Who is like you, Lord, in all the world? Your love endures forever, forever. My eyes have seen, and my heart believes, all I need is you. In the victory, still my lips will sing, all I need is you. You are rich in
I will tell you today, maybe right now the veil of being noticed when someone prayed to you, conquered you. And I would tell you here at the Vine, our culture is it's okay to not be okay. And I want you to know none of us have it together. So maybe you let that moment pass by and you think, man, I missed my opportunity. The door is always wide open to pray with anyone here. If you're struggling with something, don't be afraid to reach out. You have a family here who loves you and is willing to walk with you through any season. And so saying that, we're going to do what we do each and every week here at the Vine. We're going to lock it up, and we're going to pray as a family here at the end. We're going to go about our week and know that it's okay to not be okay, but in Christ Jesus, we'll get to show the world the hope that only He can bring. And so let's pray. Dear Jesus, once again, thank you that you are our shield, that you are our defender, that you are the only one that can deliver us. Jesus, we can't deliver ourselves, that none of us were born perfect. None of us have it together. Jesus, right now, maybe in that song, we finally realize that you are the one. You are the one who is our shield, that we don't have to walk around with that strength in ourselves, Jesus, but that through you, we get to put your full armor on. And no matter what the world throws at us, the chaos, the noise, the storms, we will get through it because you are with us. Right now, if we're listening throughout the week or wherever we are, Jesus, these veils, I pray that you would reveal the veils that we put on ourselves to try to hide our weakness, because when we put that on Jesus, we're just preventing the world from seeing you. So I pray right now that we would see that even though our weakness is real and even though our weakness is allowed, that it is in our weakness that your witness is the strongest. So I pray right now we would lay it at your feet. Jesus, we can't believe that we get to do this. We can't believe that you allow us to be a part of your reconciliation plan for the world. Thank you for coming and dying for us. Thank you for coming to set us free. And thank you that we don't have to have it all together. We just have to lay it at your feet and receive the free gift you've given us. We love you, Jesus. We can't wait to come back here next week to lift your name high. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Y'all join us next week as we continue chasing carrots with Follow Back.